Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message.
Hey, come on, can we celebrate that bumper one more time? It's the last time you have to see it. I know that makes you sad. But hey, we're really excited that you are here this morning. And again, if it's your first or your second time here, welcome home. We want you to be our guest today. And you're coming in on part five of this series we started at the beginning of the month. But don't worry, we're going to catch you up. We're gonna make sure you know exactly what we've been doing for these 5 weeks. And when you came in, on the wall in the back, there's our vision statement. What we believe God has put in our hearts, and really the journey that every single person is on. We believe that there's this spiritual journey. And you might say, Pastor Keith, I don't have faith in Jesus yet. I'm not on a journey. Yes, you are. You just don't know it yet, maybe. Or you're putting your faith in something or someone else. Or maybe it's in yourself. But we really believe that these four things are so vital. And it's to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. These are really the four things that we believe every single person, they experience, and not just one time, this is ongoing. And so what does it mean to know God? We talked about it, and I'm sure you remember it, that Greek word. Do you remember that word? It's gnosko, right? Let's say that together, gnosko, right? It means that we don't just know things about God, but we really know God. We really have an intimate and personal relationship with Him. And we kind of read this really strong passage that day about how Jesus said, there'll be a time where he says to people, I don't know you. And they said, but wait a second, we did all these things for you. He said, no, it wasn't about things for me. It's that I never knew you personally. We never had a relationship. And so for all of us, that's really a starting point, but it's also our everyday that we know God through reading and through prayer and through doing this, coming together and making it a consistent part of our lives, gathering with each other. And then we talked about finding freedom, that once we know God and he knows us, now he wants to change us. He wants to make us new, and he wants to get the junk out of here. And that's why you might have a habit or a thought or an addiction or just unforgiveness, and you're, I can't get rid of this. But you weren't designed to get rid of it on your own. You find freedom in community with other believers. And I'm so grateful now we're a couple weeks into our groups and they're just going phenomenal, and people are gathering with each other and finding freedom. And if you're not plugged into a group, get into a group this week. It's just for the next, we got 10 more weeks or 11 more weeks of this. Just get into a group. You need it to find freedom. And last week we talked about our purpose and how it's really the Holy Spirit in our life. He empowers us. He produces fruit in us. He gives us gifts so that we might fulfill. Do you remember the human job description? That God created you what? On purpose, for a purpose. You're not an accident. You're not just here by chance. It's not a coincidence. It's not fate. I want to believe that my life is way bigger than a big bang. I want to believe that it's a God who spoke me into existence and he created me on purpose, for a purpose. And that all of us were made to display God's image, to live in close relationship with him, and to take care of his creation. And that includes people, even the annoying ones, even the ones you don't like very much. We have to take care of those people. And so today we're going to finish this thing up, and we're going to talk about this. How do we make a difference? How do we make a difference? And the title of today's message is, You Need This. And so go ahead and look at the person next to you and tell them, you need this. But you need this. You need this. Now look up here and say, Pastor Keith, I need this. I need this right here. I need it. Thank you. I know I need it too. And so all of us, we need this. We're going to talk about making a difference. And I want to jump right into scripture this morning because it really sets the framework of this message. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Paul says, I love this. For we are God's handiwork. We are God's handiwork. Think about that. You're not accident. You're not chance. No, you're handiwork. You're a masterpiece by God's hands. You were created in Christ Jesus, and here's why: to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has a plan for your life. God has had a plan, and we talked a lot about this last week, that David said, while I was still in my mother's womb, you knit me together, you formed me. That he told Jeremiah, I knew you before you were born. God has a plan for you, and he has good works for you to do. And so we're going to talk about how can serving and doing good for others be good for me? How in the world could me doing good for someone else, how could that be God's plan for my life? How could there be joy in serving? And so often the message of culture is that there's joy found when we consume more, right? When we get more. If I have more money, then I'll have more joy because I can buy happiness. If I go on more experiences, take more trips, then I'll experience some more joy. And if I can just kind of make things about me, if I can gather more relationships, whatever it might be, if I can take in, isn't that where I'll find joy? But I'm sure that in this space this morning, we all know that that's a failed attempt. That's a road that doesn't actually end where we want it to end. And I don't know, for me, I've tried many times to just say, if I could just have a little bit more for me, then I'll have a little bit more joy. But think about your own life, right? I believe every single one of you, you have this experience. You try to remember something you purchased and how much joy it brought you in that moment. And it probably did bring you joy in the moment. A new iPhone came out. I got a new car. I got a new job. I started a new relationship. And you got hit with a little bit of joy. But maybe a year or so later, you sold that thing. Hopefully not a person if it was a relationship. But you sold the car. You sold the phone. You lost the thing. The thing that was supposed to bring you so much joy, you lost it or you sold it or it depreciated. It stopped. But now, can you remember the time when you served another person? Mike, can you remember the time where you helped someone out? Where instead of taking from, you gave to. And you can remember the feeling, and it wasn't just momentary. I mean, you went to work the next day, and you talked about it. You said, hey, last night I was at my church, and we served the homeless. This past weekend, we gave away kids' shoes. On Sunday, I helped park a car. How was that great? I can't tell you why it was so great, but for some reason, it put such joy in my heart when I was the first person someone saw. There's joy in serving. There's joy in making a difference. Let me read you this. The purpose of life is to discover your gift. We talked about that last week. You discover your purpose, but don't miss this now. The meaning of life is to give your gift away. Think about that. The purpose might be, I want to know why was I made? What's the unique gift God has for me? How has the Holy Spirit put joy in my heart? How has he given me a gift? How has he empowered me? Now that I know, I got to give it away. Now that I know, I got to open my hands and release it. Now, here's what I know about every single person this morning. You want to do this. You want to. In fact, you've probably said before, Pastor Keith, I want to serve, but, right? That's the next word out of our mouth. I want to serve, but, and everybody has a big but. Turn to your neighbor. No, don't do this, okay? Don't say that. But all of us, we have that but that enters the sentence there. And it's true, isn't it? It's true of me. I get asked to do something. I get asked that I know it's going to kind of make a dent in my plans for me. Man, I really want to do this, but. And as I was thinking through this message and I was praying, I asked God, I said, what are the factors that stop me from serving? Not the church, not you. I thought about me and I said, what would stop me? What is it that I immediately go to that follows that, but I can't because? And it's really these three words, and maybe you've heard these before. In fact, next month we're doing a series on all three of these words. And it's really, I want to, but my time, my talent, and my treasure, right? I really want to be involved, but you don't understand my schedule, my time, and I can't make time. I can't find time for this, right? There's things that I say. I look at my calendar, and my calendar looks like a rainbow just threw up on it. There's just dots and colors and things everywhere of what's going on. And so I want to, but my time, I want to, but my talent. Which maybe for you, you would say, you know, I look at those on the stage. I look at those serving with kids. I look at those in production. All those buttons and lights, they confuse me. I'm not talented enough. I don't have enough skill. No, that's a lie from the enemy. We just read you were created by the handiwork of God. Every single one of you, you have been gifted by God. You were created on purpose for a purpose. But the enemy likes to tell us, no, I don't have no talent. I can't do anything. Or it's our treasure. Maybe there's a call to financially invest or to help someone out. There's someone at your job. You know they're going through a season right now. You're saying, I can't help them out. I need help myself right now. How am I supposed to do this? So all of that kind of gets into our hearts. And what I want to call it this morning is that's really a consumer's mindset. It's a consumer's attitude. It's really, well, I want to give out. But a consumer is someone that shows up and they suck up. Meaning, you know this before. It's not anyone here, because this church is none of us. It's someone we know. They enter the room and all the energy, what? Right? It just sucks it right out of the room. My, here they come again. They're going to talk about their problems. Here they come again. They're not going to make a difference in other people's lives. They're focused on what they're going through. And we all go through those seasons, and that's why we need a group of people to help us, right? To protect us, to carry our burdens, to help us find freedom. But you were not created to be a consumer. Instead, today, I want us to shift over. I want us to go from being consumers to contributors. Think about that change. Think about if when you entered into a space and you said, I'm not just here to take in. I'm not just here to suck in. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here to make sure that people know that when Keith enters the room, there's someone coming who's saying, yeah, I've got time, I've got talent, I've got treasure, but I want to use it for the good of others. That's what Ephesians said. We were created to do good. And this is not just Sunday. This is way bigger than that. I would say it this way. It's not less than when we gather together on Sunday, but it's definitely way more than when we gather together on a Sunday. So yeah, we have opportunity every single Sunday to serve and make a difference. That's what we say. Be on a team and make a difference. Serve the world. But how about when you're on the road? How could you be a contributor in that moment? Right? Someone's trying to get into your lane and you have two options in that moment. And I usually choose the bad option. I see they throw on their signal and there's a little gap. So what do, people? We speed up a little bit. That's a consumer's mindset. Oh, you're not getting in here. A contributor mindset. Let me slow down. It's going to inconvenience me. I might miss that light or have to pay $80 if I try real hard to get through it. And hopefully it's still yellow. But a contributor says, even on the road, I'm going to make sure other people in your home, you get home from a long day at work. And maybe if you're married or there's kids in the home or there's other people, you have a consumer opportunity or a contributor opportunity in that moment. I had a long day, babe. The only thing I want to see is the inside of my eyelids. The only thing I want to see is a TV screen. Or you had a long day too, didn't you? How can I make a difference today by serving? You see how this is bigger than Sunday? At your job, well, I'm only going to help out if there's overtime. I need the pay to spend a little bit more hours here. What if you have a contributor's mindset and you say, you know what, I want to do good wherever I am. I'm telling you, this is how you're going to find joy. In fact, you're going to read about it in group this week, but Jesus said, this is the way your joy is made complete. It's by serving others, by making a difference. So what can shift us from being consumers to contributors? And we're going to read a story together today in Luke chapter 10. So if you have your Bible, you can turn there. If not, it's going to be up here for you to see as well. But Luke chapter 10, And we're going to do a lot of reading together today, so stay with me. But this is probably a story you've heard before, but I want you to see how it really shows us how we can go from being consumers to contributors, being people who make a difference. So Luke chapter 10, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. I like that. Who's going to stand up to test Jesus this morning? This guy, he's bold. He says, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And pause for a second, because I don't want to paint this person as a villain. In fact, when you see the interaction Jesus has with this, really a lawyer, an expert in the law would be a lawyer, you're going to see that Jesus loves this person. And this person really knows what they're talking about. But what's he asking? He's asking the question that probably you've asked before in your life. In fact, you might be here this morning because you asked this question. How do I get to heaven, right? Is there an eternity? How do I make sure that what happens here somehow impacts or affects what happens in the next life? And so he's coming to Jesus, not with a wrong question. He's coming probably with the question we've all asked. I want to know how to know you. I want to know how to have a relationship with you. I want to know, this is an eternal question. I know that there's more than just the temporary and the everyday. Jesus, there's an eternal. So how do I get in? How do I find eternal life? Now, Jesus's answer and the man's reply is very interesting. Because Jesus doesn't give him an answer, which Jesus usually doesn't do. That's just Jesus style for you. What does he say? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? Basically, he says, open your Bible, right? Go to the law, go to the Torah, go to the prophets, go to the Psalms, and tell me, summarize it. Now, you got to understand he's talking to a Jewish man who would have known over 600 commandments that are found in the Old Testament. That's a lot. So now he says, okay, you go ahead and try to summarize all that. And look, the man does it. He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. He does a good job. I mean, I was reading this week, I'm in Leviticus. There's things about your sideburns. There's things about shellfish. There's things about clothing. I mean, he could have picked any of those things. There's all different laws. How do I get to heaven? I don't know. There's like over 600. How do I? And he goes to a passage that the Jewish people knew well, found in Deuteronomy. It's really the heart of the law. Jesus says this summarizes the whole thing. And I like to say it this way. It's love God, love others. Love God, love people. Love God and love your neighbor. And look at Jesus's reply here. This never happens. He says, you have answered correctly. Come on, you got a thumbs up from Jesus. If I'm this guy, I'm going to put that on a coffee mug. I'm putting it on a t-shirt. I'm opening a Jesus said I was right store. Come and buy my stuff. I'm the first one that Jesus said, you've done it right. And then he says to him, do this. Do this and you'll live. This, I'm telling you, this never happens. If you read the stories of Jesus and the moments that he interacts with people, when people ask him a question, he very rarely gives them an answer, as he did in this case. And then when they attempt to answer it or they attempt to go through that, Jesus is like, you are so wrong. I'm going to give you a story. There once were some birds, right? He just goes down a story just to try and, like, you don't understand how off you are. But to this guy, to our lawyer, he says, you've done it. And at this point, the man should have walked away and started making a difference. He knew exactly what to do. All right, I got to go love God. I got to go love others. But isn't it interesting, though, because that's not the gospel. The gospel doesn't say that in order for us to receive eternal life, in order for us to know God, that we have to do something. The gospel calls us actually to lay down our lives. The gospel calls us to have our hearts changed by Jesus. So I read this and I said, Jesus, you're wrong. That's not it. I know the gospel. Maybe I have to share the gospel with you, Jesus. And Jesus knows what he's talking about because the next moment reveals the heart. It's always about our hearts. That even this morning, you could be gathering in church and you could be connecting with others throughout the week. And you could even be reading your Bible and praying and giving and serving. But all of that has to be secondary to the work that God needs to do in your life. You need to know God. You need to gnosko God. You need to really know him. And the reason why Jesus says, do this, is because he knows the man won't. And the man knows he won't, and he tells everyone else with his answer. Look what he says. He wants to what? Justify himself. He doesn't need to justify his answer as being right. It's already been right. Jesus already validated, yeah, you're right. So what's he trying to justify then? It's not his answer. It's his heart. Because look at what he asks. So he asks Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And what he's really asking there, what he's really showing the crowd and what he's showing us today is when he asks, who's my neighbor? He's revealing there's some selfishness and sin in his heart. Because he's really saying, who's not my neighbor? Come on, Jesus, love God, love your neighbor as yourself. Yes, go do this. And a changed heart would willingly do this. They would go and make a difference. They would go and serve with joy. But our lawyer is so much like us, isn't he? But who's my neighbor? Who don't I have to love? He asked the wrong question. He should have asked how would have been a better question. Jesus, could you give me some pointers? How should I do this? How can I serve people? How can I make a difference? How can I show love to others? How can I show love to God? But immediately he shows his heart that's wayward and sinful and selfish. And this morning, so is ours. So is mine. So easily we lean right into this place of, no, not them, not those people. Not them. And now Jesus is going to really give him the answer to the question he should have asked. Here's how, but he's also going to show him here's who. So he tells a story that maybe you've heard before, the story of the Good Samaritan, we call it. It's world famous. In fact, you probably heard that phrase before, Good Samaritan. You didn't even know it's from Luke chapter 10. So it came from the Bible. So look at what Jesus does. He goes to story mode, Jesus. In reply, Jesus said, notice he doesn't tell him who his neighbor is, tells him a story. A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. And they stripped him of his clothes, they beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. I want to pause here and just kind of come out of the story because you got to understand the road that Jesus uses in this story. It's a real road that his audience would have known. The story itself is made up, but Jesus would always use real places or people that they could relate to or types of life, whether it was agriculture or fishing. So when he says that there's a road going from Jerusalem to Jericho, there really was a road there. And it was a 3,200 foot descent to go from Jerusalem to Jericho down 18 miles. This is before electricity. There were no streetlights. There was nothing to mark out your road. This was known as a dangerous road. This was the road where if someone was to get beat up or robbed or left for dead, it would happen on this road. His audience knew that road. I would love to just kind of pull something out of that because I believe this morning, for some of you who are in this space, you're on that road. Man, if you were to sum up your life right now and the season you're in, you feel like you're going down 3,200 feet, 18 miles, and there's no light, and you're beat up, and you're left for dead. And you feel like everything's been robbed and everything's been taken from you. And I just want to say that I'm so grateful that you're here this morning, because you're going to see what happens to the man who's on this road. And it's the same thing that God is able to do in your life today. So here's this man, he's left for dead. And in Jesus' story, I mean, he's kind of lucky, I would say, because look who comes by next. It says that a priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. And so too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw the man. So get this image in your head. Here comes a priest and sees him, and he goes on to the other side of the road. And here comes a Levite, and he sees him, and he passed by on the other side of the road. Now, if you don't know who are these people, a priest and a Levite, you could think of them today as a pastor and an assistant pastor, or a pastor and a musician, or a worship leader. So me and Joe Reg, we go down the road together, right? And here it is. We see someone who's beat up, who's left for dead, literally out in the street, hurt, needing help. And we want to help, but we pass by on the other side. And what's so interesting is that Jesus does not give us any reason why these guys passed by on the other side. It's not in the text. And we can speculate and say maybe they were on their way to church. I mean, he specifically says there's a priest and a Levite, so it might have been a day where they had to get to temple, they had to get to the synagogue to do their... But it doesn't. You know why Jesus doesn't give us the reason? Because it doesn't matter. That's what he's teaching us here. We don't need to know the reason why they decided to pass by. What we need to understand is that they did, and they shouldn't have. It doesn't matter. And so I know this is strong right now, but the reason is irrelevant. The moment to make a difference was right there in front of their face, and they chose to pass by on the other side. And their reason may have been well-intentioned. It might have been one of those things. I don't have the time right now. I mean, I got to get to church. Why would I stop and help one person when there's hundreds of people? I don't have the skills to help this guy. I'm not a doctor. I'm a priest. I'm a Levite. I can't do anything about his wounds. It can't cost me right now. I've got to use this money for something else. You see, it could have been their time, talent, treasure, but the reality is it really doesn't matter. What matters most is that we see that these two individuals walk away and they don't make a difference. And then Jesus speaks right into the story, and he goes right after the lawyer's heart, and he goes right after the audience's heart, and he goes right after our heart with who comes into the story next. And so he says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Now, I have to explain what this would have been like for the audience, because no one in this room, I assume, gasped or spit on the ground. Right? No one did that. Hopefully no one did that this morning. It's kind of messy. But when Jesus says in his story that a Samaritan enters the picture, right there, how fast I read it, I'm sure in that moment Jesus had to stop, because now he's hearing boos from the crowd. He's hearing gasps, and he is hearing people spit. It was culturally acceptable for a Jewish audience or Jewish people, when they heard about Samaritans, to spit on the ground as a reminder they are worthless. This is the kind of hatred that's in their heart. Why? Because they were different than them. Because their religion was a little bit different. Because they took some of the law and the Torah and the teachings, and they kind of grabbed more onto Jacob than onto Joseph. And they took some of Moses, but not all of Moses. And they believed the temple was in a different place. They had some differences. It was still the heart of the same Torah, the same message for the Jewish and the Samaritan people. But there were slight differences that caused such hatred. And I don't think I need to spend a lot of time here. Because if you think that this doesn't exist today and that somehow racism has been dealt with or somehow it's done and over, it is not. This is still an issue for God's people to weigh into. And it's not through protests and it's not through signs. It's going to be the way the Samaritan does it. It's through making a difference. It's through serving. It's through remembering I'm the handiwork of Jesus. I was created to do good works. And so Jesus introduces what should be the villain to his audience, the Samaritan, but he takes pity on the man. For you this morning, what you have to think is, who is that person or that group of persons that, if we're all honest, there's something in our heart that says, not them. I won't help them. They get what they deserve. He gets what he deserved. He let me down. He broke his promise. No, she lied to me. She betrayed me. You don't understand that whoever that person is for you, it's going to be hard, but I need you to do it real. You got to try real hard here. I need you to picture that's the person that's coming down the road now towards you. That's the person who is walking. That's who the Jewish man sees. Oh, anyone but the Samaritan. Not him, not her. That's who's coming. And yet this person says, I'm going to make a difference. And look at what the Samaritan does. Really uses time, talent, and treasure. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And then he put the man on his own donkey and he brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day he took out 2 denarii. That's kind of day's wages. So he's saying, what it cost me to work, I'm going to spend it on this guy I just met. And he gave them to the innkeeper. And he says, look after him. And when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. And so the man uses his time. We don't know if he was planning to go to the inn that day. But now he's saying, I'm going to go out of my way. I'm going to take my time and I'm going to help you. He uses some talent that he has. I think all of us in this space, everyone here knows how to put on a Band-Aid on someone. So you're as talented as this guy. He just says, I'm going to bandage his wounds. I'm going to take the resources I have, the oil, the wine, the money that I have, and I'm going to make a difference in someone else's life. You see in the picture here, he's coming into this moment and he's remembering, I need to make a difference. There is joy in serving. That the meaning of life is found in giving my gift away. So Jesus shares this story, and then he pulls out of the story, and he looks at that man, looks at us, and says, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? And now Jesus is going to ask a question. So this man comes to ask Jesus a question, and Jesus says, right, go ahead and tell me about the law. Well, what do you think? The man answers. Now the man asks another question. Remember, well, who's my neighbor? Really, who's not my neighbor? Who don't I have to be so concerned with? And so Jesus tells a story, and now the man, I believe he's looking in the eyes of Jesus, and Jesus is looking at him with eyes of compassion, because it's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. So don't think that for a moment now Jesus is scolding or angry. No, I believe he's an invitational God. He says, but now who would you say? You've got a Jewish priest, you've got a Jewish Levite, and you've got a Samaritan. Who was it? And the expert in the law, he's an expert after all, he replies, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus told him, go and do likewise. The same thing. He said it at first. He said, go and do this. But the man needed his heart to be worked on before he could really go and do it. The man needed to see himself in a broken state. I love the tension that we all feel when we hear this story. Because don't we hear this, and what do we say? Who do we want to be? I want to be the Good Samaritan, right? Right? We name hospitals after this, the Good Sam, right? We have laws. There's actually a law to protect people if they want to intervene when they see something being right. It's not called the Good Jew. No, it's called the Good Samaritan. And March, let me get it right, March 13th is actually Good Samaritan Day. Did you know that? It's an actually national day where they say on March 13th, we should think of ways we could be a good Samaritan to people. And you can help someone out. You can help a neighbor. You can find someone in need. But think about that. As a society, we want to be the Good Samaritan. It goes back to the tension that we introduced at the beginning. I want to, but I want to do something. I want to make a difference, but I have all these other things. I don't know that I can. I don't know that I could use my time. Jesus is very strategic in how he tells this story, isn't he? Because he takes his Jewish audience and he takes the Jewish lawyer and he puts him into the story, but not as the hero, as the victim. Think about that. If Jesus had reversed the roles in this story, if Jesus had told about a good Jewish man who came down and helped out a Samaritan, it would have justified the heart of the attorney who was trying to justify his heart already. So Jesus strategically writes in his listeners into the place of the victim and takes those who they believe there's no good that can come from that person. There's no good that can come from there. And makes that the hero of the story. Don't miss this. Jesus not only writes in his listeners and his audience, he writes himself into the story. Because we know that Jesus is the true and better Samaritan. Isn't he? Isn't that the gospel? That we are broken down on a road in our sin, and we need someone to pick us up and carry us. And we need someone to mend our brokenness. And we need someone to take their time, their talent, their treasure, and invest it in us before we can do something for someone else, before we can even get up onto our feet. I know for me, my story is this, that before I could make a difference, I needed Jesus to make a difference in my life, that I needed him to be my rescuer, that I needed him to be my true and better Samaritan who will come and say, I'm gonna get you up. I'm going to give you a purpose now. You were created on purpose for a purpose. And Jesus takes his time, takes his talent, greatest treasure, his very life, and lays it down so that we might find salvation, so that we might be saved. And there's this yearning to be the Samaritan, but don't miss this. This is really going to help you make a difference. You cannot be the Samaritan until you identify as the Jew. You can't. You can read this story, and we as a society can read this, and we can say, but I just want to help people. I want to do good. Yes, all of that is in you because you were created to do good, but trust me, you cannot fully give yourself away. There'll always be a but that follows that sentence of, I want to make a difference, but until you see yourself as the Jewish person, until you see yourself as the broken down person who is beat up, who needs Jesus. So Jesus writes himself in. And today, all of us, we have a good Samaritan. We have someone who came from heaven to earth so that we might be rescued, so that we might be saved. And it is the gospel that motivates us. If we're looking to shift over from being a consumer to a contributor, the starting point is the gospel. It's to recognize when I was going down a road, 3,200 feet down, 18 miles long, man, Jesus was my rescue. Jesus was my healer. Jesus is my savior. Jesus is my provider. He came to my rescue. And now when I see others on that road, when I see other people in that state, when I see them broken, when I see them bound up by their sin or caught up in something, or they're going through a tough time, how can I not help? How can I not make a difference? This is the gospel that motivates us. But listen, there's a cost. There is. There'll always be a cost. It was a cost for Jesus. It was his very life so that we might be saved. And for you to be a person who makes a difference, for you to be someone who chooses serving, it's going to cost you. But here's two questions I want to throw at you as we conclude. Two questions. One is a consumer's question, and one is a contributor's question. A consumer asks, what's the cost if I serve? What's it going to cost me? If I serve, it's going to cost me something. I know that. It's going to cost me my time. It's going to cost me my talent. It's going to cost me in some way. Yes, you're right. But a contributor, someone who shows up and says, I want to make a difference. I want to be a part of the solution. I want to help another person. Look at how they ask it. They say, what's the cost if I don't serve? Let me unpack that for you. Here's what that means. If you're going to show up and make a difference, you're looking at someone's life and saying, what's it going to cost them if I don't serve? What's the cost here if I don't give my all? What's the cost here if I don't do good works? And maybe it might be a relationship that you have right now, and you know the cost. If you're not the person to go and seek out forgiveness, if you're not the person to go and find restoration, the cost is bitterness, isn't it? The cost is anger. The cost is, but they hurt me and they deserve what they get. And yet there's still a cost you're paying. But what's the cost if you don't do it? It's all of that. Now, if you go, now there's restoration, there's healing, there's joy. You see someone who's in need, your neighborhood or at your office or in your home. What's the cost if I do this? It might cost you some money. It might cost you some time. But what's the cost if I don't? That person is going to stay where they are. That person is not going to find tangible needs. That person might not even find Jesus. God has positioned you to do good works. I started thinking about this question for our church. What's the cost if we don't? What's the cost if we as Truth Community Church don't do what we are doing right now and don't continue to do? I'll be practical with you. The cost would be in 2 months, we wouldn't put air mattresses in here. What's the cost if we do? Well, there's going to be team players who are going to serve. They're going to give up their nights to be here. They're going to give up their mornings. That's all the cost. We're going to have finances. We're going to be buying food, and we're going to be getting laundry done, and we're going to have to blow up air mattresses, which if you've never been a part of that process, that's fun, right? You have to blow up air mattresses and set. All of that is the cost, but can I tell you what the cost is if we don't? It's that people continue to stay outdoors. People created in the image of God and sign up for this. You can still text "This is home" to 97,000 because your heart wants to be a part of this, and it's going to change your heart to see people's lives. What's the cost if we don't have a kids program for children downstairs? Maybe for you, you have special things in your heart that God's put. Maybe you're living debt-free, and you look at others and say, it might cost me some time to help another person kind of get out of their mess, but I want to walk them through because I found the joy of being debt-free. Every single one of you have a passion, and God has put that passion in your life. He's put that there. Some of you are craftsmen, and so you help other people. Some of you are hospitable, or you cook good, and so you help other people. What's the cost if you do it, but what's the cost if you don't? And I want you to understand, next week, we're celebrating our four-year birthday party, everybody. Come on, are you excited for that? We're celebrating 4 years here, but you know, even as I say that, and as I said it this past week, and we're getting ready, there's going to be so many cupcakes, I can't wait to eat them all. I want you to come out and celebrate with me, but I want a lot of cupcakes. But even as I think about that, truthfully, we've been asking this question, what's the cost if we don't, for 4 years, since a lot of us have been here. But do you know, since the 60s, people have been asking that question. Here, in this place. In fact, it was in the 60s that I believe a group of people said, what's the cost if we don't build a church building in this community right now? And there was a lot of things, I'm sure, that entered their head. Here's the cost if we do it. It's going to cost us time. It's going to cost our talent. It's going to cost us treasure. But if we don't do it, there won't be a life-giving space in the heart of this community. And all over these decades, there have been different people who have been in this space. Do you understand? Let this just kind of humble us. That for decades, there have been people who have been praying in the building that we're in today. And we're a result of those prayers. Maybe your life has been changed by this church. It's a result of people who said, what's the cost if we don't? And today we keep asking that question. What's the cost if we don't have a homeless outreach? What's the cost if we don't have a dynamic kids program? What's the cost if we don't add another gathering? Yes, it's going to cost us something to do it. It's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us talent. It's going to cost us treasure. But what's the cost if we don't? And that's the question that continues to move us forward to making a difference. And so that's why we start off this message saying what? I need this. You need this. I was strategic in my wardrobe today. My shirt says I was made for this. I was made for what I'm doing. And who you are, you were made for what you are doing. You were made to make a difference. And do not allow the enemy to lie to you and to make you a consumer that just shows up and sucks up. No, you want to show up and you want to serve up. You want to show up, you want to give up everything that God has given you. You want to make sure that I'm giving away my time, I'm giving away my talent, I'm giving away my treasure. And every single week, you can see different team players in this space, and they will tell you, hey, does it cost you a lot to come here? And they'll say, yeah. But they'll tell you it's worth it every time. Does it cost you a lot to show up and be downstairs with children? Sometimes it's my sanity. Sometimes it's my peace. Does it cost you, band? You show up. They show up by 8 o'clock. The band's here. They're getting ready. Does it cost you? Yeah, but it's worth it. But there's joy in my heart. Does it cost you to stand outside and park a car? I mean, winter's coming. You still going to do it? Yes, I am. Why? Because it puts joy in my heart. Because I was made for this. Because I was made to make a difference. Because I've been created in Christ. I'm the handiwork of God to do good works. And our prayer is that no one misses this. No one in this space would miss it. And so I want to pray a prayer over you this morning. And now you're realizing your next step in the journey. I know God. I'm finding freedom in group. I'm discovering my purpose through a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And now, Pastor Keith, I'm in a position. I want to make a difference. I want to keep making a difference. And so would you stand with me this morning, church, and we're about to sing a song, Jesus, We Love You. Why are we going to sing that song this morning? Because we love Jesus because he first loved us. And the only reason why you're going to be motivated to make a difference is because you see there was someone who came down your road, your life, bandaged you up, and picked you up, and put together pieces that seem so broken and so shattered that there was no hope. But Jesus says, I am the hope of the world. What we sing this morning, hope has a name. His name is Jesus. And so I want to pray a prayer over you that you would be a person who makes a difference. And yes, here on Sundays, and if you're not on a team, get on a team. It's going to do your soul good. Trust me. Just get on. You can go on our website. You can fill out a card, but even beyond Sunday, be a person that makes a difference tomorrow on the road. Be a person that makes a difference at your home. Be a person that makes a difference at your job. Be a person that makes a difference when you're shopping. You know, you find someone that makes a difference when they're shopping, when they're not in a rush. It's an easy way to make a difference. We're not rushing around. We're stopping Do this. This is real practical. Why don't you this week, when you interact with someone at the store, cashier, ask them how they're doing. And don't just take the good answer. And look at them and say, no, how are you really doing? How's your day going? How's your shift going right now? And just watch how you start to make a difference in their life. Because they might start to share with you, man, I'm having a hard time right now. Wow, I'm going to pray for you this week. You just made a difference in their life. And I'm telling you, you're going to walk out of that store. It might have cost you a little bit more time, but it's going to put joy more in your heart. It's how our joy is complete. So let me pray for you, and then we're going to sing this song together. Go ahead and bow your heads with me. Father, we thank you that you love us so much, that while we were on the road, while we were broken, while we were headed nowhere, Jesus, you are our rescue. Jesus, you are the true and better Samaritan that comes to us so that we might see ourselves first as that broken down person. And you make us new, and you give us purpose, and you tell us you were made for this. And we start to live out our God-given purpose and potential. Lord, I pray that for this church this morning. I pray for every person in this space that we would be people who make a difference, that we understand the meaning of life is to give our gift away. May we be radically generous, not just in our finances, not just in our time, not just in our talent, not just on Sunday, but our whole selves, every part of us, a radically generous people. May we keep asking the question, what's the cost if I don't serve? And may that drive us to be people who make a difference. Lord, I believe every single one of these people today, they were made for this. Seal that message in their hearts, God. May we change the world you put us in. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Church, can we just celebrate as people who are going to make a difference this week? Thank you for being here today. And now we're going to sing this song, Jesus, We Love You. Let's sing it out together, guys.